All right. Whew. Welcome, everybody. It's been a while.
Thursday Warriors.
I know. I'm trying to get back in the swing of things. Last week was a little crazy. Yeah. We had a little bit of a miscommunication, and we forgot. And Tim ended up with tickets to the Pens game, so I can't really, you know, be mad about it.
It was a...
So... It was not the greatest game to go to, if I remember correctly.
No, it was not.
Well, anyway, hi, Thursday Warriors. Welcome back to the NDC Presents the Toddcast. I am your host, John Engel, regional manager. With me always is Tim Cope,
the handsome Tim. And I can Tim. Do this. Handsome Tim and his eyebrows. How's it going?
Yeah, good, man, good. Got my new little buddy here. He's being crazy. His name's Marshall. Nice. He will probably end up jumping on the screen at some point.
And you got your PS4, right?
I did.
You got your PS4 set up.
Yeah, man. I've started to play some games. I'm like 20% through Star Wars Battlefront 2, the newer one, which I still don't understand why they didn't call it Battlefront 3. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. I'm like, you already have a Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Battlefront 2.2.
Right. 2.2. 2.5. 2.2. I don't know. But I'm through the classic trilogy part of the campaign. So
okay.
So now I'm going to the next step. Good lord, he just took off. What are you doing? Anyway. Man, so much stuff. This is something cool. So I was in Elwood the other day. And Todd goes, "Hey, I got something for you." And I'm like, "Oh God, he's gonna yell at me." Nope. he was hanging out with Pop Man, and it says 2 GM John on it, which is even cooler. That I was really surprised about. I was very thankful. That's super cool. It's gonna go on the wall at some point.
Nice. That's awesome.
But
and then you got yelled at.
And then I got yelled at for dumb things, but it worked out. It was fine. So, but other than that, like we had Thanksgiving, we had Black Friday. Thanks everybody who came out on Black Friday. Thanks everybody who came out for the Hunker Down sale, and hopefully everybody had a nice turkey coma and watched some football and, you know, the usual Thanksgiving stuff.
So. I ate 25 raviolis. My mom makes those big ones like that, you know, the big ones.
I ate
25 of them.
Holy crap. I had probably like at least a full turkey leg, if not more. And dude, you got to go downstairs. And or stay right there. Probably 5 pounds of stuffing with it. And then my mother-in-law made kielbasa with it too. Like, I love kielbasa. So we had that. And then my brother-in-law had never seen Black Widow or Shang-Chi. So we watched both of those. And then we watched Home Sweet Home Alone, which is the new Home Alone movie. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I won't do it.
It was pretty good, man. Like, it had the girl from
Elliot from The Office, and she was like the Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah. That's where I knew her from because I don't.
I was like, she's Joe Pesci. What a terrible! Not that she's not good. It's just like that's not an equal swap.
I thought she did good though. I thought it was the end was a good twist. It's pretty good. And then, you know, I ended up having to work today. So I stopped at the waterfront real quick before I came back. Saw our boy Ron Gamiss, getting chatted up by George Shuma. So it was, I was like, yep, gonna steer clear. They're talking. I don't want to get stuck in that because I will never make it back in time to start the show. So,
yeah.
All right. So we're going to talk some comics, and then we're going to definitely talk about Hawkeye. So if you guys are interested in that, make sure you stick around. If you are not interested in that, make sure you stop when we tell you.
If you're not interested in it, make sure you don't watch our show anymore. Because
that too, you should totally, you should be watching that show because it's awesome. And we will talk about how awesome it is in a little bit. So we're going to try some new stuff here where Tim's going to try to do some screen share too when he does his books. So I'm going to go first because I know how to do that for mine for sure.
Yes.
And then we're going to go and try yours.
Okay.
All right. So my book is Good Boy, number one, by Source Point Press. This book was probably my favorite book of the week.
Let's just point out the awesome cover too, because that's Nick Bradshaw. Yeah. And it's disgusting. Yeah. It's amazing.
Oh my God. It's so good. So I met Garrett Gunn, the writer of this book, a long time ago. And I know Christina Blanche because she runs Comics in there's three of them. She's, I think, in the Midwest one. She's also part of Comics Pro. I met Christina a couple times. She's a great, great lady. So the art in this book is great. The story is freaking awesome. It's basically like some people kill this dog's master. This dog swears on the literal grave of his master that he's going to go and kill the people that killed his master. They actually have a line in here. I'm going to read it. Where he kind of goes into this, he goes into like a gas station to use the restroom. And when he comes back out, the bad guys are there and they try to beat him up and they have this big fight in the gas station. And the girl that was out front, when she's talking to the cops afterwards, the cop says, and then the giant crazy dog assassin fought to the death. She goes, I don't know why y'all are acting so suspicious of me. You know, anthropomorphic characters exist in this literary universe. So they know they're in a comic book. They know it's like that. I was talking to Lauren up in Cranberry about this book earlier today. And when I described it, he basically just said, so it's like John Wick as a dog.
It's like reverse John Wick, right? Because the master gets killed, so the dog's
But I was like, yeah, that's pretty fair. We'll go with that. Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. I thought it was awesome. I really recommend this book to everybody. So make sure you check it out.
I read the Ashcan. We got the Ashcan like 3 months ago or something, and I read it. And I was like, this book's never coming out. And it finally came out.
I know it got postponed a little bit. I think it was the art. And then there were printing issues, obviously. But the guys at Source Point are awesome. They're coming to Three Rivers next year. So who knows? Maybe we'll end up with a Good Boy variant. Maybe we'll have a creator there. Who knows?
Yeah.
That'll be cool. So
nice.
All right, let's try this.
All right, let me see here.
Everyone with, last time we tried this, Tim accidentally disconnected himself. So
I think that I got happens, it.
I will kick him back in. It'll be fine.
I grabbed my Apple Pencil to make selecting it easier, so I wouldn't have any issues. Okay. Yes, can you see it? Here's my first book.
I can, yes. Yes.
Mark Miller, not Millar. Mark Miller and Mateo Scalera's King of Spies. If you like Mark Miller's other stuff, you're going to like this one. Very good. A lot of action. So the setup for this is we have the main character in 1990. In the prime of his like kind of James Bondish action hero days, running through Panama City, just shooting the shit out of bad guys, jumping off of a building, just to get a sense of like how active he was, falling off a building. This lady's trying to give birth, lands right on it, boom, baby pops right out. Hilarious. Mark Miller's really good with some of the dark, twisted humor like that. So that was a pretty funny scene. And then this is the intro. Roland is his name. This is our hero. But that's just the intro, so you get the sense of what he was. This is him now, and this is where the story is taking place. He is older. It is today. It's 2021, 22, and he's old. And
so,
he's
so the baby being like hiked out of that uterus is the same dude?
No, no. It's just he fell down on the ambulance. Yeah, I was just pointing it out because I thought it was a funny scene. Like, she's trying to give birth. Yeah, and then, like, bam, it just shoots right out. Like, the cord still, everything. Yep. but, no, that was, like, and then he jumps out, and he's like, hey, I'm fine, I guess. I fell off a giant building and landed on this ambulance, and I'm all good. But this is, so this is him today. He's kind of, like, washed up. He is coughing up blood, and we're not sure why. He's talking a little bit about the world that he's created and how he's a little sour about all the work that he's done in his time as like a spy. And he doesn't think that the world has come out for the better. This is when he's at the club that they hang out at. They're called the Knights, I believe. And he's just talking about, you know, this is the world that we forge. You know, we knew we were crooks, and I'm not really happy because we did this and we turned a blind eye to all these other people in power, you know, for money and prizes and awards from the queen. And I feel disgusted by it. He confronts a man in the club who is very powerful. And is bad mouthing one of the waitresses, and he doesn't like it. And he goes to confront him, and right when he's yelling at him, he passes out. And then it cuts to this panel where he's in the hospital. And you find out that he has a tumor and he has 6 months to live. And this is where the story is going to change for him. He decides that he's not happy with the world he created, and he has 6 months to set as much right as he can. He goes back to the club after he gets out of the hospital and goes in the bathroom, and the gentleman from before is in there with his, you know, bouncers, and he just F's them all up. And I mean, like, brutal. Like, this guy is, you know, he's got to be like 60 years old, and
still he just
decimates him. And basically at the end, he says, you know what? This world is shit, and I'm going to fix it, and I'm going to take as much of you assholes with me as I can. And that's the setup for the book, is this guy is just trying to set right the things that he's done. So it looks like it's going to be a fun book with a lot of dark humor, like Mark Miller does. So I would check that out if you get a chance, because it looks, it, the first issue was amazing. So,
so now my question is, do we feel like he did this to go, let somebody really old be James Bond?
Yeah, probably. And also it kind of had like a Kingsman feel, but even like a little darker.
Right. Which,
didn't he do Kingsman?
Yeah.
So, you know, it was kind of like, why not just do like this as another agent from the Kingsman, you know?
Right. Well, do you see they're doing another movie, The Kingsman? It's like
the original Kingsman. Yeah. It looks fantastic.
It does. So. I haven't seen the second one yet, though. Were there three already, or is this the third one?
No, this will be the third one.
Okay. I haven't seen the second one yet, but I heard it was not as good as the first one.
It's not as good, but it's still good.
Okay.
It's still good. There's some great scenes. Elton John dropkicks somebody, if that helps. So
that, I may have to watch it just for that scene.
Yeah. That scene alone, it makes it worth it. So
awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm glad the share screen worked. Jesus. All right. Here we go. My second book, Black Panther number one. This is the John Ridley stuff with Juan Cabal as the artist. And
he's on fire, by the way. Dude, that guy is.
Oh my God. The art on this book is so good.
Yeah.
The writing is just not as good.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it picks up where, you know, T'Challa's back from space, from ruling his new crazy, like, I don't know, like galactic empire that he has created. And he's fighting with the Avengers. The Avengers are like, all right, cool. You're going to be like, you know, a chairperson and part of the team again, right? And he's like, yeah, yeah, totally. So they do a cool, you know, fight scene at the beginning with Cap, Doctor Strange, and Thor, where they're basically fighting like weird mole creature guys. And T'Challa is just like, Strange, make a portal. There's got to be a portal. Everybody has a portal. And they're like, what makes you say there's a portal? It's like, it's either a portal or a button that shuts off everything or whatever. Like, there's always something. Just make a portal. And Doctor Strange is like, damn it, you're right. So he just makes one, and then they kick him through there. They save that. He goes back to Wakanda. Wakanda is now a democracy, but he's still the king. It's just he's not in charge anymore. Like, they actually have, like, you know, like a actual kind of Congress parliament thing. It's like a
whole government.
Yeah. Setup. Yeah. So he just kind of feels like out of place there, because he's just like, just do this. And they're like, no, we have to talk about it and figure it out. So he kind of gets pissed about it and leaves. And then you find out that he has had these sleeper cells all over the world because he doesn't trust anybody. And somebody found out who two of them were, and they attacked them. There's a really awesome fight scene. And then one of them ends up dying. And then so then they, like, the other one who survives brings him to see the body. He's like, oh shit. And then he takes, he goes back to Wakanda because he has to kind of figure out what to do next. So there's a scene where he goes to Shuri and he's like, hey, we need to talk. She's like, okay. He's like, no, we need to talk. She's like, okay. So she puts this like acoustic force field around them, so no one else can hear them. And then he basically unloads all this on her, and she's like, what? Like, and he keeps talking about how to stabilize nations, it requires a singular leader. And she's like, you mean a dictator? And he says, dictators don't pretend to be more than that. Democracies pretend to be free and fair when they are not. I was like, I don't really like this book, starting to get a little too political on me. So that, like, by mid book, I'm already like, meh. I don't know if I want to read the rest of this. It does kind of get a little bit better. He talks to Steve and he kind of steps down from the Avengers because he has to figure out what he's doing with all these sleeper cell people. And the girl that survived, he kind of finds her again, and they're going to go and deal with all these other sleeper cell people. While I really like the art, the story was not something that grabbed me at all. So
yeah, they kind of made him into like the Queen of England. It's like, you're just this person that doesn't really matter, that people, you're this symbol that people look at, but we have actual government now and you don't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very interesting to kind of see like the figurehead that steps down idea, because that did happen in England, and you're right, and that's pretty much how that happened. But I think he feels a little more like, hey, you guys should listen to me a lot more than you are, even though he's the one who stepped down, and that's kind of the problem with it.
Like, almost like he's regretting it a little bit.
Yeah. So that's my only problem with this book. It was it got a little preachy on the political end, I guess.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? I don't really need
hopefully
this right
that's
now,
just but... like to set up the, you know, like the picture. And then they don't and then maybe they won't get into it as much, hopefully. Yeah.
Well, considering this is coming from a Marvel book, I would expect by the end of the series for him to completely flip his tune. So yeah. that's kind of how I'm approaching that idea. But like it was worth it for the art. I dug it for the art. The covers are gorgeous too.
Oh yeah, Alex Ross.
So, yeah, I know, man. You can't go wrong with Ross. So,
no.
But that was pretty much it. So it was good. It wasn't great, but it was good.
I'll check it out. I was interested in it because I didn't like the previous volume, like the Intergalactic Black Panther stuff.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can. It's really be a shame if they go two volumes of Black Panther in a row that aren't good, you know?
Yeah, I didn't like it. The last one I liked was the first Coates run.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the last one I liked. I really liked the Shuri run, the Priest run, that stuff, like the older stuff. I really love that stuff. But
The one with stuff, what was it, with John Romita back in like the late, or I guess the early 2000s.
Yeah, the Marvel Knights stuff with Priest and Romita. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was
so good.
That stuff was awesome. Somewhere I have a DVD of a, like, where they made that into like an animated sort, animated.
Oh, thing. Yeah, they did that, you know, with, what else they do that with?
They did it with Astonishing X-Men.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. Those are awesome. And that was like before they had like their website for comics and stuff. So it's like, how can we get people to like get interested in them?
You know? I think they did that for most of the Marvel Knights era, like number ones or first arcs at least.
Yeah.
So it was very, that was kind of cool to see that stuff kind of be lifelike. It's similar vibe to like if you've watched like Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, like the intro to that, like how it sort of moves but it doesn't, like that's kind of the art style of the animation style. I really dig it. So
nice.
All right,
So what should we do? I got Avengers or I have Hulk, and there's so much to unpack in both of those.
Well, I have a short one, so let me do my short one.
Okay, and let's do that.
And then I'll do Hulk. You can do a long one, and then I'll do a long one, and then you can do a long one.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
My second, or my third book, Justice League Incarnate, number one. So this came out of Multiversity, which then led into Infinite Frontiers. And it's kind of funny because like the it starts out on Earth 8. And it's kind of like the DC Avengers. Like there's like a knight that's kind of Captain America. There's Big Baby, who's the Hulk, and he's just a giant blue baby. And they get attacked by Tartarus, who is a version of Darkseid, right? And if you know like what Tartarus is in Greek, he's like it's like the prison that the Titans were kept in, and it's also like the like primordial death and life type thing. So it kind of makes sense for him to be called that. So anyway, the Flash from Earth Zero ends up being pulled into this crazy, the multiverse thing, like the Infinite Justice League stuff, like their watchtower that sits in the multiverse. So you have Superman Earth 23 Superman, which is the Obama one, and then you have the Batman from Earth Unknown, which is the Thomas Wayne Batman, because that whole Flashpoint thing got erased during Doomsday Clock. So this Flash, they take her to help them find Barry Allen, because Barry Allen was trying to fight off Doomsday in Infinite Frontier and he got stuck in another world. So they're trying to get him back so that they can fix things. And she's like, I don't know if I can do it, blah, blah, blah. They bring her to what the hell, the quantum treadmill.
Nice.
Which is awesome. So she kind of does that. And then they show like this Justice League is like Captain Carrot, the Superman, the Batman, yes, the Flash, Aquawoman, and Dino Cop, which is basically Savage Dragon, but he's brown.
Is that who the dude with the like feather sword is in the back left?
Who is
that?
No.
Behind Aquawoman.
I don't know if they got to that character in here yet.
Okay.
Mary Marvel's in there, obviously.
That's definitely not a trident.
Right.
That's a fork.
I don't know who that is yet. Okay. Let me see. I don't. There was. That's Thunderer from Earth 7. I think he's like Thor.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Like a Lightning Lad kind of character?
Maybe. Maybe like a Static Shock or a Black Lightning, maybe. But yeah, so he's there. They actually don't show Dino Cop, but Dino Cop basically looks like Savage Dragon with a button-down shirt, but he's brown. So they go back to that Earth, the beginning with like the Justice or the Avengers style team. They find the whole place has been destroyed. Tartarus shows up and he literally is ripping Blue Baby in half in a scene.
Oh, wow.
Which is great. Someday I will get, screenshot ability with stuff so I can actually show more of panels, but it was killer. Literally. Darkseid shows up, but it's not the main Darkseid we know because he has a grandfather box instead of a mother box. And it's like huge and red. So Tartarus and Darkseid have a throwdown. Dr. Multiverse is there and she's the only one of her kind, but she can look at someone and see all of their different versions. So there's like a cool panel where she looks at Superman and sees all the different Supermen. It's mostly like the throwdown between Darkseid and Tartarus from that point. Darkseid at one point snaps Tartarus's neck and like literally turns it around. It was like cool panel.
And this is the Darkseid from the Infinite Frontier, this new version.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he uses his grandfather box to go and try to find Barry Allen because they're trying to do the same thing. And Dr. Multiverse holds the portal open long enough for them to run through there. So all of them are now lost in the multiverse. And then back at the Watchtower, Aquawoman, Mary Marvel, Thunderer, and Dino Cop are there. And all of a sudden they hear a boom tube and they're like, what the hell was that? And here it's Orion. And he's like, the only way we can save the multiverse is to make the multiverse bleed. And then you see Darkseid's army show up at it. And it's very involved. It's very good. I had a lot of fun with it. So, and I only read part of Infinite Crisis or Infinite Frontier. So yeah. I recommend people definitely checking it out. So.
Do you think that means there's a chance we could get a Granny Goodness box if there's a grandfather box?
That would be cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. It's also a 5-part series, so you can get into it very quickly, and it's not going to run too long. I've liked these kind of weird multiverse miniseries they've been doing. I think they're fun. So
yeah. Well, I think I'll do Hulk because I was really into Immortal Hulk and this is the new Hulk, and this is the Donny Cates Hulk. So
I will preface, I have not read this yet. So if there's a lot to unpack and it sucks, I'm going to be really mad.
There's a lot to unpack and it's actually really cool. So
Now, is it cool really... because you're like a Donny Cates fanboy, or is it
no, you know
cool
what?
Because it's actually good?
It's cool because it's actually good. Okay. And they're doing something, I think, a little different. I mean, we've seen the thing with evil Bruce Banner before, you know what I mean? Where Bruce is bad. This is on a different level. And Donny Cates is really good at grabbing on the stuff that has been done in the past and playing off of that. And I feel like that's out of respect for what other people have done. But you can see at the bottom, it's what if the Hulk exists to protect us from Banner? So the way this starts out is you see the Hulk and he's just banging on this door and he's talking. He's banging on the door and they're talking about the rage of the Hulk. And what if none of those things are reasons why the Hulk is here? What if the Hulk is here to protect us from Bruce Banner? And then you see this other side of the door and there's Bruce Banner and he's in this kind of like, I don't know, like this captain's area. You'll see later where he has a chair that he sits in. It's almost like a Star Trek kind of captain's chair. But he's having this conversation with Betty and she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, you know, you don't need to be here right now. And she's like, you can't keep, you know, the Hulk locked away. You can't do that. It's not going to play out well for you. And she says, you can't blame yourself for what happened in El Paso. And it's one of those things where like, we don't know what happened in El Paso yet. So there's something that happened and they're going to eventually let us know what it is. But he's having this conversation and he's legitimately scared because he's like, look, eventually I'm going to go away, you know, I'm going to go to sleep and I'm not going to wake up. The Hulk's going to take over. And he's like, because the Hulk's immortal and I'm not. So that was part of the thing here with Bruce Banner, what he's exploring. It cuts to, say this too. He then yells at Betty. They have a fight and he yells at her to leave. And it's just Betty in his mind. So he's literally fighting with the idea of what he thinks Betty would say to him, which is why she looked like that and not like the Harvey Betty that we know.
Right.
So it cuts to this scene and it's Avengers Tower and all the Avengers are there and they're discussing the Hulk. And Spider-Man's like, is anybody confused about like what's going on right now? And Doctor Strange starts to break it down. And he's like, this is really dangerous territory that we're getting into with Bruce because he's done something that I don't even think I can do. He has taken his psyche and he has split it up into three parts.
Right, which we found out at the end of Immortal Hulk, correct?
Yes. Yeah. And so he's taken it and he's split it into three parts and he has built this psychic defense network that not even the strongest telepath in the world can get through. Emma Frost can't get through it. Professor X, Jean Grey, Hope, none of them. And he says, and he turned it into a starship. And what you see here is the Hulk with this gear on that Bruce stole from AIM. And he doesn't mean starship like in a literal sense. He just means it more like he is piloting the Hulk. And he's using those three things as different parts of this Hulk that he's controlling as his, you know, so-called starship. But you see him fighting here with a Hulkbuster. Really cool scene where all these Hulkbusters, there's four of them that gang up on him, and they're no match for him. He takes them all down. One of them shoots out this nanite level adamantium,
mm-hmm.
and it ties his arm down, and it's basically it enters your skin and it grabs onto all the cells, and then it forms whatever form that the person that, you know, is controlling it wants. So they use it as a cage to kind of lock the Hulk's arm down. And that's when you find out what's really going on here with the Hulk in that door. This Hulk that's at the door isn't actually the physical Hulk. This is his like psyche, and Bruce has locked it away, and now he controls it. So what he does is he needs more rage, as you could see where he's using like the lever to kind of increase the rage, and he antagonizes the Hulk on the other side to get the Hulk angrier. So then he can then control this, you know, the Hulk that he's piloting.
So it's like a psychic danger room.
It's like a psychic Pacific Rim.
Okay. Okay.
You know, so the Hulk, so he's in there, he's piloting the Hulk, and he breaks through and he comes to this. He's like, this is what I want. This is what you built. Tony Stark, since he's, you know, the futurist, he has built this giant celestial killing armor. And that all stems out of what happened with King in Black, because the world was taken over and he doesn't want to see that happen again. So he built this giant armor that has a portal in the chest where the reactor would normally be, so that if this would happen again, at like a null size event, Iron Man could get everybody on Earth off of the planet and somewhere else. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So the Hulk wants it. And he basically beats the shit out of Iron Man. And Iron Man's like, don't go through there. Like, you don't know what's going to happen if you go through there. And he's like, I don't care. He's like, I'm trying to progress as a scientist, and this is something that I want. He's like, so I'm done caring about what you want. And he walks through, and he says that he's done being controlled by the Hulk's rage. He is now fueled by it. And that's the interesting part. It's like, you know, the Hulk that we're going to see in this isn't going to be like the crazy monster. This is just going to be Bruce controlling, like remote control piloting the Hulk's body, but using the rage as like a power source. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
That is pretty cool.
It's one of those things where, like, I always give Donnie Cates like the first arc in something. His Guardians run that he did with 12 issues wasn't like super great, but it was a short run. So we'll see after the first arc if this is going to have the longevity to go like his Venom run or like the Immortal Hulk run. But the first issue was really good, and Ryan Otley's artwork looked better in that than it ever did while he was doing Spider-Man.
Do you think it's the colorist?
I think it might be the colorist, but I feel like also, you know, this is a monthly book, and they were trying to put out Spider-Man two times a month.
Well, so you feel like it was a little rushed.
I feel like it was probably rushed, because we're seeing that now with the stuff that's going on now where they're doing three issues a month. And, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago when I did the one Spider-Man book, Sarah Pacelli's art looked awful.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know her art to be bad, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's probably what it was. But it looks fantastic in this, so.
Cool. All right. Plowing Carl through.
Said it sounds confusing. And I'm like, if that's what you got from that, then congratulations, you get the Hulk.
yeah, I think if you at least probably read the last arc of Immortal Hulk, it might help, right? At least the last arc. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even like the Peter David stuff was, you know, that's a lot of like psychology stuff. And it's always was a little confusing because there's things that are like left to interpretation at times.
Right. So. Well, that was the best Hulk. So,
yeah, absolutely. That's why Immortal Hulk was so great, because it played off of that.
Yeah.
So,
all right. My last book, Bam. Wonder Woman Historia, the Amazons.
That's gorgeous.
So this book is written by Kelly Sue DeConnick, and the art is by Phil Jimenez, and it is amazing. This book, if it were, first off, this book is in the giant black label size, like the magazine size. If it wasn't, it would not be, it would not be as good, because the art is huge, and it's all over the place. Like, literally, it's all over every single page. This book, this is volume one, so it focuses on the actual Amazons themselves, but it also focuses on the goddesses and how they went to Zeus after they realized that mankind treated women like shit forever. And they show, like, actual vases from ancient Greece, and they point out where, like, women were degraded and excluded, and men were entitled, and women were murdered and assaulted and subjugated. So you, like, it's partially based on real Greek mythology and history. So it kind of talks about how Hera went to Zeus with all the women, and Zeus kind of blew them all off. And so the women, all the women but Hera left. And they went all the way down into Tartarus, and they each gave something of their, like, of themselves. So, for instance, let me find one of them here. Artemis offered a bone torn from her own flesh that once caged her heart, it set it free. And that, so each one of them did that, and each one bore the first of their clans, or their tribes. And then you see, like, that's how the 30 original Amazon started. There's a lot of, like, each one is very specific to their person, like their god, which Antiope is from Artemis, and that's why she's, like, such the huntress that she is. Oh my god, the art in this is so good. It was actually a little hard to read sometimes because of how good the art is and how much it's, like, all over the pages. Like, here, hold on, I'm gonna. Right, yeah. That's a lot everywhere.
That's Phil Jimenez. Like, yeah. He's so good at doing those big spreads like that.
Yeah. This was a like I said, a bit history, a bit Greek mythology, and then it talked about Hippolyta and how she was given a baby from a mother who had, this was her third daughter, and back in the day they would just put them out in the wilderness, and if the baby survived, then it was meant to be, and if it didn't, then it was also meant to be. So she puts this baby in a in a basket in the river and sends it down the river, and then halfway back she's like, no, I gotta find this kid, I can't do this to this kid. And she runs for pretty much years looking for this kid until she can't anymore. And then some men find her, and they think she's a slave. So they try to enslave her again, and Antiope comes and saves her from these people, and they make her their queen. And you see that the baby survives, and that Hera gave her one of her thousands of thousand eyes. And that is actually Wonder Woman. And that's the last page, as you see her on this giant death looking horse, because she is the will be the greatest, because she survived through that, and she is now blessed by Hera. So it's actually kind of more of a a different backstory about it, but it's very feminist.
Yeah.
Which is duh, should be. It's a Wonder Woman book.
It's Wonder Woman, yeah.
But it is super, super good. I really think a lot of people should read it. Just because it's so good, and the art is fan fucking tastic. Jimenez did Wonder Woman back in the 90s, if people didn't know that.
He had the legendary run.
Yeah. He drew the issue with Todd in it. So.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. So, that's the one where he proposed to his first wife, or his only, his ex-wife, I guess, because Amanda's not his wife. It was very, like, and that's really funny because I every time I find one, I'm like, hey man, will you sign this? It's the first appearance of you in this book.
Yeah.
So, sometimes he gets mad, sometimes he doesn't. So, but all it's right, it's very.
So this is, I'm going to try and get through it quick so we can do, but it's a big one. This is a giant, like, anniversary issue because this is issue 50 and also 750 Spider-Man, if you're paying attention with your weird numbers not lining up. So let me kind of give everybody a heads up on a few things here. This is Jason Aaron. He did the story, Original Sin,
mm-hmm.
with the Watcher. Okay. So let's I'm going to read you the intro here just to get everybody up to speed of where this is at. The demon Mephisto has long been bedeviling the Avengers, and his machinations reach back far into the past, beginning with Earth's prehistoric champions, which we know from Marvel Legacy, which is like the BC Avengers. In the present, Gorilla Man struck a deal with the Red Widow and the Winter Guard, allowing them to kidnap Hulk and bring her to Russia. Hulk was imprisoned in the Red Room, where she was transformed into Winter Hulk. She then set out for Atlantis to fulfill her Winter new programming. Yeah. And her programming was to assassinate Namor. However, Hulk had secretly allowed herself to get captured and withstood the brainwashing, playing along in order to stop the Winter Guard's plan. Rather than kill Namor, Winter Hulk defeated the Red Widow and then sought to defuse the gamma bomb Widow planted before it detonated. So that's our setup. Okay. That's our setup.
Is that in that Winter Guard book at all, by chance? Do you know?
It is the storyline that they did right before this. So I don't know if it is in the Winter Guard miniseries that you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
I don't know for sure.
Damn, I guess that means I'm going to actually have to read it and find out.
Let me grab these pictures. Because there's so much, and I will try to move. There are things in here you're not even going to understand. Like, it's going to be crazy. Jason Aaron, he just
loved his Thor run. So
he just made Donnie Cates look like he wasn't creative.
Well, I mean, I think those two guys in general are probably two of the better writers Marvel has had in the last 10 years.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so. It starts out, here we go, we've got the orb, and he shows up in these people's house. He's like, hey, I see everything, and I see that you guys fight and yell all the time. I've got a lot of stuff, and I've got places I need to be, so I'm going to need you guys to just go ahead and kill each other tonight, because that's where it eventually goes, because I got to get going. And I'm like, what a fun way to, like, you know, start off the book. So next, this book jumps a lot. So you get to Kazar, and he has this time knife, and he has been cast back into the past because the Avengers want him to look into the past Avengers that I don't remember how they come across them existing, but that's what he's doing. When he comes along, and baby or child Thanos, teen Thanos, whatever we want to call him, shows up and was like, hey, what's up? You're a time traveler. I hate the Avengers. I hate, yeah, Thanos. Let's call him that. He's like, I hate the Avengers. I hate Earth. I'm going to kill you guys. I'm going to kill everybody. And then it jumps again. This is where the gamma bomb goes off that Jen Walters, She-Hulk absorbs, and Robbie Reyes, Gorilla Man, are trying to escape Atlantis and the radius of that bomb. She-Hulk goes to the tower. You know, they live inside that giant celestial that's dead. Mm-hmm. And she's just filled with all this gamma energy, and she just lets it explode, and it reveals her original self.
So that, like, I just want to, first off, this is a very cool, like, John Byrne style panel. But
yes,
so when you look down by her legs, is that supposed to be like smoke, like over top of her lifted up thigh? Okay, because yeah, like, it just looks very awkward.
Yeah, it looks like, yes.
Okay, but so she's kind of doing like, she's kind of doing like the captain pose.
Yes, like the Captain Morgan pose.
With a little bit of smoke over top. Okay. I just, because I was like, what the fuck is that? Is that her knee? Like,
but you're right with the, as far as like the look of this, this is Jason Aaron getting her back to who she used to be. She had that stint as the Grey Hulk, and it's just been tough for her for this entire run that Jason Aaron did. Now she's back to the normal version of herself. Cuts back to 1 million BC, and we've got Thanos, and he's fighting Odin and Agamotto, and they're like, hey, let's get you the F out of here. They throw him back through a portal in time, and then it cuts to, also at 1 million BC, Dr. Doom, and he's having a conversation with a snake, and I think we can tell by the red lettering and the words, the way they did them, that this is Mephisto that he's talking to. And Mephisto's like, hey man, you know what? You should make your own team. And I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. So he says, okay, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to make my own team. Then jumps again back to Kazar, where he's at. And you see this thing show up and it's like, hey, you've been kind of going through history. And now history is noticing that you've been there and you don't belong here. And I'm here to purge you from history and get you out of here. And we're going to find out about this guy in a minute. So if I move too fast, let me know. I'm just trying to cover the whole book because it's so big.
Nope, you're good so far. I mean, it's definitely like, what the fuck? But
there's so many huge moments, and I didn't want to show all of them. So I'm just, because there's like really big moments in this. And it's kind of setting up the entire, I guess, next year's worth of stories for what's going to happen with the Avengers. It goes back to Avengers Tower. Robbie's talking to them and he's like, hey, I got something I'd like to just unpack and talk about. You know, can we talk about what's going to happen when I die? And they're like, what do you mean? He goes, something's going to happen to me. I can feel it. There's this sense that I have, and my brother is everything to me and I'm everything to him. And he's like, I need to know he's going to be taken care of. And the Avengers obviously are like, dude, like, yes, we'll obviously make sure your brother's taken care of. Cuts to She-Hulk. She goes down to Atlantis, and this is a very weird scene. She's kind of like, hey, Namor, like, you had this whole thing that happened and your kingdom left you, everybody left you, you're alone. And he apologizes to her and thanks her for not killing Atlantis, for fighting back against the Black or Red Widow's programming and the Winter Guard's programming, and says, I owe you a life debt, which is very strange because that's not something you usually see from Namor. He's very arrogant, you know.
He's like fucking Chewbacca here. Jesus.
Yes. Cuts to the Red Widow now, and she is, the Squadron Supreme is here to arrest her, except for Power Princess plows her arm through what's the Spectrum guy's name? Dr. Spectrum. Mm-hmm. Can't remember his name. She plows her hand right through his chest. And she's like, "You don't speak for all of us." And he's dead. And I'm like, "What just happened?" Because he did this whole Hero Reborn thing to set up all of them. And then it shows Hyperion like locked in a cage. So they're there to kind of free him. Then it cuts to Jane Foster.
Deathlock? What the fuck?
Yes. The saddest looking Deathlock.
The saddest Deathlock ever.
This is like.
It's like Virgil Deathlock.
Yeah. And Virgil he Lock. Says that he's an intra-universal agent of Avenger Prime, and he's crossed a million firmaments to bring this Earth a warning. And he starts scanning for Avengers, and she's like, "I'm not an Avenger." And he's like, "Not yet." And I think what he starts to hone in on is Robbie Reyes. He's going to have something that happens with Robbie Reyes. Cuts to a different page, and we see Howard Stark from Earth 4111 making a deal with Mephisto. And this all stems from Howard Stark does not want to be, he's building a future, and he hates the idea that he's building a future that he's never going to live to see. So he wants to be immortal. And Mephisto's like, "Hey, like, this is what we'll do. We'll make a deal." And you see this really sick scene here where Iron Man's like, "Look, Dad, I made jet boots." And he's like, "Yeah, I see you did, but I'm about to kill you." And that's what he does. And he goes to hell and he forges this armor. And he says, Tony's dead. He gets killed.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought
This is Howard. This is Howard.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So Howard goes to hell as part of his deal with Mephisto. And he becomes the Iron Inquisitor, which is the chief security officer for the Council of Red, which we saw at the end of Heroes Reborn, which was all of those Mephistos. They want to rewrite the history of all of the universe and just destroy reality itself. And when he says the walls of reality, it kind of made me think of Snyder's run on like Justice League with Death Metal when they broke through that wall. And it caused a lot of issues.
Yeah, I mean, Geoff Johns used the multiverse wall a couple times too. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of reminds me of that. It cuts back to Kazar and he's like, "Hey, like, what am I doing here? Why would time just drop me here and leave me here?" And then he's like, "Oh, maybe it's because of this." And it's Galactus. And he jumps over to attack Galactus. End scene.
So go back to that Galactus scene for a second.
Yep.
So at first glance, very quickly, all I thought you were going to say he walked in on Galactus jerking off. I'm just saying, from this scene.
No, like it does look like that. He looks like he's using some kind of like Galactus fleshlight of some sort.
Yes, that's exactly. I was like, "What is going on in this scene?" All right, continue on.
Okay. So the next page just kind of introduces the new Masters of Evil. So we've got Killmonger, and he's inside the suit. This is the Dark Phoenix and her beast. You've got the Ghost Goblin, and this Doom is called Supreme Doom. He is the Doom that is better than all the other Dooms. He is the Doom of Dooms, right?
Okay.
You've got Red Skull in his symbiote. Cuts back to Deathlock, and he locks on and finds Robbie Reyes. And then Robbie's head starts to just burn. He's going nuts, and he gets teleported away, and he ends up on this Earth. And Deathlock's like, "Look, you're kind of the key to this whole thing. Like, there's something that's happening. There's this Supreme Doom, and he's collected this new Masters of Evil, which is all these terrible versions of hero or villains, you know, throughout time. And as they're talking, they get attacked by these evil war machines. And this was just a sick panel by Aaron Cooter, that just them fighting. From there, it cuts back to the Masters of Evil, and they kind of, the orb shows up, and he's like, "Hey, what's up?" And they're like, "What's going on with you?" And he's like, no, like, I'm here, like, because I know what's going to happen with you guys, and I can't wait to watch it. Like, he's like, and he starts introducing, he's, you know, Doom Supreme, Dark Phoenix and her Berserker, Young Thanos, Killmonger, Ghost Goblin, Venom the Black Skull. It's kind of like his introduction formally for the readers to everybody. He's like, I can't wait to see who you guys are going to kill next. And Doom blasts a hole in the orb's chest. and then he takes the Watcher's eye and absorbs it. And the orb is laying on the ground dying. And he's like, hey, Mom, I'm finally doing it. I'm doing what you always wanted. I'm dying. And he goes,
that's awful.
Weird. Yeah, he goes, weird. I feel like I should have saw this coming. And then it shows this shot, and it says, Doom says, let us begin. And you see that they're already there. So they have made their way to Earth 616 outside of the Avengers location. And then it cuts to this amazing scene where Galactus ends up making Kazar a herald for him.
Oh God.
And Kazar kind of goes with it because he's hoping it'll help him get through time to where he needs to get back to. And then the last panel, which is setting up an amazing story called The Two Worthies. You see this young kid being attacked by the Brood, and Thor comes in to help rescue him and says, hey, you know what? You can't lift that hammer because you're not worthy of it. He's like, but don't worry. He's like, you might be worthy of something one day. You'll find your weapon. And he goes, what's your name? And then he says, my name's Arthur.
Oh.
And I'm like, they're going to do a King Arthur meets Thor. I think that's kind of badass. So that's the whole issue. Holy shit.
That is a lot of stuff, dude.
Yeah. That's a ton. I mean, I had a neck cramp just from doing it, from talking about it.
Jesus.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there. It was a fantastic issue with just like a shitload of stuff. Like, I had to read it twice just to like kind of make sure I'm not missing anything, because it's a big one. So, yeah.
Well, it is in my very large stack of stuff to read. But that's crazy. All right. Now it's time, people. Spoilers ahead, because we're going to talk about all three episodes. So if you haven't watched it, GTFO. we're going to watch about some Hawkeyes. Yes. So,
how do you want to do this? Do you want to just freaking talk about it, or you want to start with episode one?
Okay, so I'll say it like this. So the first episode, I'm glad the first two episodes released at the same time.
Yeah.
Because the first episode, I was like, I don't really know if I'm going to like this, because it didn't really have, it didn't seem to latch onto any kind of vibe yet in the first episode. It was really kind of all over the place. And then the second episode really solidified the tone of the show more, in my opinion. Yeah. It definitely has a lot of Matt Fraction humor in it, which is great. Yep. I like how they're sharing the screen time with each hero. I really think it kind of really hit a good beat on the third episode when they're doing the escape from the Bros. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you have a lot of Kate stuff, you have a lot of Clint stuff, you have a lot of that Matt Fraction run, because you know, the tracksuit mafia is a big part of that.
Well, and to tie it into, to take that Fraction story and then to try to find a way to tie that into the current cinematic universe without losing the magic of that run, and to tie it all around that the Ronin suit,
yeah,
I thought was just, it was like fell in their lap almost, like it was that it was perfect.
I like that they tie the swordsman in.
Yes,
I like that. I like the swap of Madame Mask for Echo. I thought that made more sense. And I is it bad that I just want to see Grills on the roof of a building grilling? That's all I want to see him do at some point before the end of this season.
Well, the scene with you know, so like I guess the start would be like, you know, Kate, you see her when she's younger, and there's the attack on New York. And I thought that was a fantastic way to, for like, you know, motivation for her to want to be great, you know?
Yeah. I thought it was a good way to, for her to kind of idolize Hawkeye too, like to kind of show that that's where the end game for her was to be like that.
Yes. And somebody actually did a clip that shows like ties it in and shows the original shot in Avengers and that shot from the first episode. And you can see, you know, Hawkeye in Avengers, and he's shooting and doing all that stuff. And when he jumps off the building, you see her building, and there's a window that's blown out. And you're just like, oh my God, that's that. That's how detailed Marvel is. They're like, we need to make sure that this is like all linked together properly. So I thought that that was great. I think something is off with the mother, though. I wouldn't be surprised if, based off of the fight that they had, if he wasn't dead right away and she let him die. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised.
So I'm going to come back to that after we get to another part, but keep going.
Okay.
Just keep that in your mind.
Yeah. So, and then you get to this stuff with Kate, with the bell tower, the introduction with her, Hawkeye wanting to have a nice Christmas with his kids for the first time, and then the auction that she's at that party, and she senses that there's something off after she sees her mother fighting with Armand the Third, and she kind of infiltrates that that auction where the suit gets, she steals the suit. Yep. So, and then
I love though that Swordmaster is going to be her stepdad.
Yeah.
Like, and like that they did the whole fencing scene and he stole the sword and how he's just like, she's just trying to cope and blah, 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 blah. But like every time he gets into like, I read a book on this, like, I'm just like, that is so perfect.
He's like, it's natural for her to test our new dynamic. He's like, I read a book on it. She's like, money well spent, Jack. Money well spent. But that was awesome. I love the scene with Hawkeye having to go get the armor back, the Ronin suit back at the LARPing.
That was great. It
was fantastic. Watching him just kind of like, nonchalantly, like he's irritated, like and then smacking someone, and then he did the spin move, you know, and you kind of see him like, oh, is he getting into it a little bit, you know? even the swords when he's doing like the block when they had the trial by combat, and the guy that's like cling.
That guy in the background.
Cling,
yeah,
cling, 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 cling. Yeah, that was awesome. So
all I thought was, that's Chip. if that were to happen in the store randomly, that would be what Chip does, is cling, 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 cling. I could just see him doing it. Like
and then Hawkeye does the catch and release, which was Black Widow's move to get captured, but on purpose. And then she falls through, and then we have the start of the third episode, and that's where it really picks up.
I also thought it was awesome that it was in an old KB Toys, because I used to work at KB Toys.
Oh, was it? I didn't even notice that it was
KB Toys. On the outside, it's like KB Toys clearance, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it was awesome. It was pretty funny. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, the stuff with Echo I thought was cool. But I guess, can we talk about the thing that happened at the beginning with her origin story?
Yeah, so that's actually what I wanted to circle back on.
Cool.
Okay. So
go for it.
Okay. So the, if we're going by comic book story options, right?
Mm-hmm.
Echo in her comic is raised by the Kingpin.
Yep.
Possibly could be uncle, right?
Yeah.
In the Hawkeye comic, Kate's mom fakes her death. She's raised by her dad. Her mom ends up working for Madame Mask. Yeah. What if her dad isn't dead? He's uncle and isn't actually dead and runs the Tracksuit Mafia.
Well, I was thinking that somehow...
Or her mom is the one actually running the Tracksuit Mafia, which would be even crazier. So
I was thinking that maybe Jack was the uncle.
I thought of that too, because he also wears a lot of purple.
Yeah.
I love that they worked in all of these characters that wear a lot of purple.
Yes.
And you see like the purple sleeve hand thing.
Yeah.
I totally think it could be him too, because he talks about how he has more power than what Armand thinks he does. And he seemed to kind of know what was he like. If you go back to the auction scene, he kind of, I think, knew that was going to happen. He kind of knew what was going on through the whole thing. And I'm just curious about what the watch has to do with it. So,
well, yeah, the watch is curious, but like it does seem like maybe he did have something to do with that, because one, he's out of range of the blast and doesn't get hurt. Right. And two, he even says he's like about inheriting the money, you know? There's definitely something there, but we should probably also talk about, did you catch the cameo
in which one?
Episode 3? Kingpin.
That is actually in it, or just his hand?
That is hand.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That hand could be anybody. That could be.
I think it's Kingpin, because a scene later, it's one or two scenes later, when they go back to the automotive place, I'm sitting here, I'm like, it's Kingpin. Oh my god, it sounded, the little laugh, it sounded like D'Onofrio. I'm like, that's got to be him. In the first two seasons on the Netflix one, he wore black. It wasn't until the third season when he switched over to white. And then they get to the automotive place where the tracksuit's hanging out, and it's called Fat Man Automotive. And I'm like, it's Kingpin.
It's maybe Kingpin. Maybe.
I feel like it's Kingpin. And they might not. It might not ever play out in the rest of this show. It might be something for the Echo show. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think that's Kingpin, that we're going to find out that was Kingpin. And it might come to what you were saying, that Kingpin's uncle, or, you know, something along those lines. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see next week. So.
But yeah.
It's been good so far. Make sure you guys check it out on Disney Plus. It's a good time.
I loved it. I watched like every episode twice so far.
Same.
She is a lot of fun as Kate Bishop, and I feel like she just captures that perfectly. And then like to see the lighter side of Hawkeye, you know, when he's talking about, he's like, no, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to wear purple and be flashy. The reason I don't do that is because I spent my entire life trying not to be seen. And she just insists on branding. And then she's like, look, wait, hold on. And she draws this thing and she's like, see this. And he's like, what's that? She's like, those are wings, because you're Hawkeye. Okay, what's that? That's an H on your forehead for Hawkeye. And great. I'm just like, oh, that's so awesome that they worked in like that classic costume in there.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, we've gone really long. So.
Yeah, we did.
Whew. Thanks for sticking with us, guys.
Yes.
And we will see you all next week.
We will, for sure.
Make sure you guys stop by to pick up some holiday sweet gifts at your local NDC or your local comic shop in general.
Yeah,
that's about it. I'm kind of wiped. So,
yeah, me too. Thanks for sticking it out with us, Thursday Warriors.
Yeah, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for liking and sharing and commenting and helping us grow that pool. So,
yeah,
we'll see everybody next week. And thanks for watching.
Peace.
Bye.